This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and across America. I'm your host, Ben Churchwell. Today we're interviewing Wren Killian, founder of the Valley of the Flowers Project, an organization leading multiple sustainability efforts in the Gallatin Valley. As stated on their website, a key part of their mission is to support a healthy future for all living creatures. Wren, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. It's great to be here.
So you have a background as a photographer. How has this shaped your interest in sustainability?
And just really an appreciation for the beauty of the natural world has inspired me my entire life. So, and it was really neat because I was at an event last night at MSU, an exhibition of artists that are graduating, and a lot of the artist statements said the same thing, that they were so inspired by this landscape that we live in here in Montana. So it's hard not to be.
Just to introduce the kind of work you do, could you tell me a bit about yourself and how you came to be involved with the Valley of the Flowers Project?
Okay, well, I moved here. I started coming to Montana in the 80s and moved here in 1990 with my three young children, or actually it was only two at that time, but then became three. And at that time, I just noticed how little recycling there was here. And there just didn't seem to be the sustainability ethic for the last best place that you would hope for. So I just, and especially having children, made me think more about what kind of future are we leaving for them. So I just became an advocate for improving sustainability in the area, did a lot of, petitioning the local government, both at the city, county, state, and then actually at the national level. I rode my bicycle to Washington, D.C. in 2013. And at that point, I kind of gave up on getting the government to create the change because you put so much work in, so much energy, and there's so little progress. And a great example is the bag ban that we just passed. You know, the voters voted for something and the city has still not enacted it. So I came up with the idea to start a nonprofit and work directly with businesses and cut out the middleman, the government. And so Valley of the Flowers Project was born, and then just started trying to get stores lined up with talking to managers and getting stores to participate in BYO Bag for Change. And it's grown to town country, and then coffee shops are now doing BYO Mug for Change, Treeline Coffee. But the dream's a lot bigger than just helping us be, use reusables and be sustainable in our daily lives. It's, just about building community and growing beyond just the work in the stores.
What other inspirations do you have for pursuing a widespread community sustainability?
Well, one thing that has just really inspired me is the story of this land itself and just being connected to the land and the story of the Valley of the Flowers, which I later learned is in actually 35 ancient wisdom traditions. And the ethic of stewardship and sacredness of the land that the native peoples had, because it provided all their needs. It was such abundance. And that story where the tribes that came here would fight over the hunting grounds, but then there was a vision in the sky where a spirit maiden told the people, and they all understood in their different languages, that this would be a place of healing, rest, and love from that day forward. And that maiden rock is right below the M as you go up Bridger Canyon, and that's where the vision appeared. And just trying to create a sense of respect for this place and understanding based on that. And so I'm really just guided by that. I really believe in miracles, and maybe we're in a time when a miracle could happen where everybody on the planet understands in their different languages that we need to have peace. With all creatures, not just with humans.
A lot of citizens of Bozeman have probably encountered the Bring Your Own Bag for Change initiative, but for those who maybe are not familiar with the full scope of what that project accomplishes, could you describe what it does?
Okay, sure. Mainly TNC is the main participant, Town and Country Foods. And when you use a reusable bag there, they give you a 5 cent reusable bag credit, and then you have the choice of either keeping that and getting the 5 cents deducted from your bill, or you can donate it. And about 20,000 people a month donate their nickels, as well as a tree line coffee. If you use a reusable mug, they give you 25 cents. You can donate it. And then a different participant or a different recipient each month gets about $1,000. And so it's making a difference in reducing about 20,000 single use bags and mugs a month. And it's raising funds for different groups in the community, from trail building to recycling bins to sustainable gardens to things like Habitat for Humanity, Family Promise, just the list, a huge list, 12 recipients every year.
How many donations has that initiative now brought in?
Actually, in 4 years' time, when Town and Country joined, it really jumped. And so, in 4 years' time, with 20,000 bags a month, it's actually over 1 million bags, and it's raised over $50,000. So that's just from nickels being donated from people using a reusable bag or a reusable mug. So that's why I just have this big dream of, wow, if we could get Ace Hardware, Kenyon Noble, the co-op, every local store involved, it would just be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And people would see, wow, we can make a change. We don't need the government to do this. And people would be more excited to do it if we could get the word out more. So I really appreciate being on this show. And the grassroots things are hard. I call myself a grassroots grandma because people think Valley of the Flowers Project is this big group and we have paid staff, but we have none of that. We have a couple volunteers sewing bags. And that's another neat thing is we sell reusable bags that we make out of recycled fabric, donated fabric, and we raise some funds through that. And we used to donate that funding, but I'm now trying to stockpile some funding for Valley of the Flowers Project to get some of our other programs going. So, and boomerang bags is another related thing which people have maybe seen. And those are free reusable bags that we provide at the library, the food bank, and a few other stores have joined. So, Joe's
Nice.
Parkway, Maven's Market, Buff City Soap, Isle of Books. So it is spreading slowly but surely, but I really need people to get out and ask managers at coffee shops and stores and just the managers listen because they want to please their customers. And if customers demand it, the managers will listen.
Well, the progress on that is already incredible. You mentioned that the Bring Your Own Bag for Change initiative is part of a broader dream of sustainability. I'm curious, in your eyes, what does a broader sense of community sustainability look like?
Well, for me, some of the ideas that I have that I would love to have them come to fruition would be a year-round zero-waste store that would be similar to the way the co-op used to be with no packaged foods. And it would be like a place for farmers to sell their produce, a place for local artisan bakers to sell their goods. And, included in that would be a tool and recreational equipment library where people could volunteer in the community and then borrow tools, recreational equipment. And we would get free passes from Bridger Bowl, Bohart, the golf courses, whatever kids were interested in doing, if they would trade volunteer hours helping out in the community. Saying weeding gardens in the parks or raking elderly people's leaves. And plus, that's another thing is like all the fruit in this town. And one One year we did get a community fruit and apple harvest going, and Lockhorn Cider helped with that, and they have one too. But there's so much more that we can be doing to get the community together and create a more sustainable community.
And that idea of the local co-op, is that in a particular stage of development, or is it still pretty early in the process?
It's very early in the process. It's pretty much just a dream. I mean, I've done some work on creating a business plan, but it's a big plunge. It's something that feels too big for me because I'm not really a business person. I'm an outdoor worker. I do landscaping. I work in the dirt and the snow, and so I just feel like it's hard for me to make something like that happen. So I'm really trying to work on getting a group together to make it happen. Because something
Absolutely.
else I didn't mention that we're also working on, it's called Go Zero, and that's another thing where I have a group, but it's been slow to progress. And that is to it's kind of a rewards program and recognition program for local businesses, because you see a lot of businesses using the compostable cups and utensils, but there's pretty much no place to compost them. So to try to get public composting in more businesses and have more businesses being kind of geared towards sustainable practices, and then customers have a choice and they realize, hey, this business is doing more, so we're going to shop at that business. So that's another big part of the dream, the vision. It would pretty much recognize businesses through an annual award ceremony, similar to what the Bozeman Beautification Awards did, but these would be like the Bozeman Sustainability Awards. So we haven't it has it hasn't it's hard to get a group of people to take something on. Everybody's lives are already so busy, and people are like, that's a great idea, and work on getting a logo, work on getting a website. But it just hasn't actually, having paid staff would be the easiest way to get it going, because fitting the time in to do all this is hard.
I'm glad you brought up your work in landscaping because I'm curious if that line of work informs any of your views on sustainability at all.
Oh, for sure it does. Like the amount of plastic and litter that I find, because when I'm just weeding a garden, and if it's because I do some that are in the downtown area, parking lot, just apartment buildings, things like that. And it's just very sad to see that this is all being absorbed into the soil, and we're just not taking care of it the way we should be.
Your organization's purpose is largely centered around what's stated as securing a healthy future for all living creatures. In my view, and one of the reasons I'm so appreciative to have you on the program, is because these sustainability efforts, community sustainability, and ecological sustainability, are widely interconnected. I'm curious if Valley of the Flowers takes into account local wildlife and features of the natural landscape when designing sustainability efforts or in informing the work.
Oh, it definitely does, for sure, because everything we do affects the wildlife, it affects nature, and if we need to have an ethic that has the greatest respect for the natural world, and we don't have that. So until we get there, we're doing a disservice to future generations. And it's really about accountability. And it's hard in this world because, yes, we're all going to have plastic in our lives, but there are little steps we can take to make a difference. And it's right now, it's just shown how it's not just the sea creatures eating the plastic, it's the hawks and the elk and it's all the wildlife, plus the plants are uptaking the plastic too, because it's the microplastics that are in the soil. And so it's a big deal that we are at this crossroads, I believe, of we need to take action towards making a difference, each in our own lives, each in different ways. And this just happens to be my way. So I know, like, just you doing this show, and I'm sure you do many things in your life that are making a difference. So that's all we can do.
In your own day-to-day life, I've read that you've adopted some of your own sustainable lifestyle practices. Could you tell me a little bit about those?
Oh, sure. Well, part of the when I got back from Washington, D.C. on that bicycle ride, I realized government is going to do this. We have to do it ourselves. And just working in the landscaping business, I had worked for people with huge gardens, huge vegetable gardens. And I was kind of like that person who, the cobbler whose kids have holes in their shoes. My gardens were, not that great. And I realized, hey, I can just, I live in this spot near the co-op, and I felt like I'm going to create an urban garden here, an urban farm, and grow as much food as possible and have a little corner veggie stand. And it's been really fun because I have a raspberry patch out on the boulevard, and all the neighbors and anybody walking by that sees it comes and picks. And it brings community together, and I feel better about, but not everybody has the space that I do. So that's why I really believe in sharing that space. And I invite people, if they'd like to come and help in the gardens, they can. And so we have chickens and lots of fruit trees and lots of produce. So people should come and check it out at 9th and Curtis.
What other ways can people get involved with Valley of the Flowers and some of those other projects and initiatives you mentioned?
Well, one of the main things, like I said before, is just being vocal with realizing the power of many voices that to create change with the businesses, because the businesses want to please their customers. And if customers are asking for a reusable bag program that benefits the community and they hear from enough people, they'll do it. Because I am banging on doors every year. And they tell me, oh, we're thinking about it. Oh, and then they say, oh, there's that bag lady again. We'll just tell her we're thinking about it. So I don't know. Maybe they don't say that, but I just feel like that's one main thing. And then another is if you want to help sewing bags, or we make these t-shirt bags. So if you want to donate old t-shirts or actually make the bags, you can look it up online and find how to make a no-sew t-shirt bag. Get a bunch of friends together and I'll make five or six bags. And then that's fewer that I have to make. And also donating used fabric. But that's all we've got going right now. But then looking for the cleanups that we get involved in with the watershed cleanups, and the Gallatin Valley Watershed Council does them. So we don't really do any of those cleanups, but we get involved as a team. And the fruit harvest, we're going to be working more to get those going in coming see the season ahead, seasons ahead.
Well, Ren, that's about all the questions that I have. Thank you so much for coming on to the program today. I appreciate all the work that you're doing in the community, and I'm wishing you and Valley of the Flowers all the best with those future initiatives and projects.
Well, thanks. Can I share one more thing? I actually started caretaking a property down at the end of Main Street. And it's right because I visualized in the past, like when the Town and Country on 19th went for sale, I was like, oh, that could be the zero waste store and tool library, recreational equipment library. But it didn't happen. You need millions of dollars. But right now, at the end of Main, it was the old vacuum shop. And that place has been empty for years. And it would be really neat if I just think we co-create things. So we could all visualize, and maybe some investors will pop up, and just making this happen with the zero waste store. And that would be such an ideal location because it would be right next to where the farmers market is, and farmers could bring things over that they didn't sell at the market. And what a great thing that would be. Community gardens, earth sheltered greenhouse all around that, and What a little gem that would be at the end, right next to Lindley Park and the library.
Absolutely. I mean, what a perfect spot for it.
I know. So the owner is, I won't share too much information, but let's just all send positive vibes to the owner that he decides to be really generous to our community.
This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. More information about the association and its activities can be found on its website, www.gallatinwildlife.org. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to kgvm.org or to buzzsprout.com and scroll down to Wilderness and Wildlife. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Ben Churchwell.